Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Do what we think is best for the team, current and future. And obviously fans have their own opinion, and you know, we've got wonderful fans and they're knowledgeable. So I think a great majority of them understand what we're doing and approve it. Others don't. They think we should maybe go spend money and see if we can't get it back that way. But it's hard to do. I mean, even if you had that goal, that would be hard to do. You have big markets that are just going to do what they do, and we're not in a position to compete at that kind of level of payroll. And you know, there's a time to do it and a time to build. And you know, we're trying to, I think, balance that so that we have the opportunity to have competitive teams every year.
Well, that's Bill DeWitt Jr. He was speaking at Winter Warm-Up. And if you've been listening today, you know that it's Spirit Week here on the Annie Fry Show. We are celebrating school choice this week. We're celebrating specifically Lutheran education. And this week we have a fundraiser going to establish an Annie Fry Show scholarship so that we can help families in the 97.1 listening area provide that Lutheran education for their kids. You can go to LisaSTL.org/Annie. LisaSTL.org/Annie. To make a donation, and every bit helps, and we're grateful for everybody who's participated already. But Spirit Day today, we're wearing our favorite jerseys. I've got my Cardinals jersey on right now. I've always been a huge Cardinals fan, and I'm hoping against all hope that this year maybe we see, I don't know, a first place finish in the Central Division. We're bringing our friend Scott Warman on the show with us today, studio host for FanDuel Sports. Scott, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Good. So what's the name on the back of Annie's jersey?
Oh, Adam Wainwright, of course.
Of course it is.
Yes, Adam Wainwright. We've got a lot of Wainwright jerseys. It's my husband's. I stole it from him, but I also bought it for him, so I figured I didn't have to ask.
Oh, you share.
Yes, and we share. He shares. He doesn't always know it, but he does. Scott, we're going to talk a little bit about Lutheran education and how it fits into your life in a little bit, but I want to give you the open floor here to talk about your hopes, your concerns for the 2025 St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, as you played the soundbite there with Mr. DeWitt, I think what he's saying is they're trying to balance, and I think that's kind of hard for most, if not all, Cardinal fans to understand. Because, and the reason I say that is because they're still trying to compete, but yet the message after the season was to reset. So I think there's the confusion there. Plus, you know, we've been hearing for, you know, a couple of months, if not longer, about, you know, Nolan Arenado being dealt, and that hasn't happened yet. And therefore, there really hasn't been much movement, if any at all, as we are creeping down the, you know, couple of weeks before the guys go down to Jupiter and start the camp before spring training starts. So
yeah,
I think that's where the confusion is. And I understand it. I think the Cardinals want to still try to compete and wish, like your wishes, Annie, and get back into winning ways and have a first place finish. But yet there's that part where, well, you're trading Arenado and Goldschmidt is gone. Well, why is that? Well, they want to give these young kids like a Dolan Gorman, a Jordan Walker, among others, an opportunity to see actually what they have. And I think that is That's where we're going to go. Apparently, there's a trade that's going to be announced here. It was announced, or at least reported last night, that the Houston Astros were dealing one of their top relievers to the Chicago Cubs for really nothing. And basically, they were getting this reliever's money off the books because they want to re-sign Alex Bregman, who has been their third baseman. It had been rumored that maybe he might go to several different other teams, but now that their Arenado trade got denied by Nolan, they're going back with Bregman. Well, as soon as Bregman, that domino falls, if you're following me here, Annie, that means that Nolan Arenado is probably going to be available for the teams that were maybe trying to get Alex Bregman. So with that, you're going to have, and the organization has mentioned that they are trying to reduce the payroll right now and give some of these young guys an opportunity. Now, the other part of the confusion, I think, with the fans is the fact that while you're going to a full-blown, you know, what you say, reset. Well, no, they're not. But part of the problem they have is they can't trade a Wilson Contreras. They can't really trade a Sonny Gray, per se, because they have no trade clauses. Now, if they could trade them, along with a Nolan Arenado, who has said, yes, I'm willing to go to a certain amount of teams that can be dealt, then you're talking about a massive reset. But now that those two, specifically Contreras and Sonny Gray, have said, look, we'd rather be here and help the young guys and try to bring back winning baseball to St. Louis. That's where I think some of the confusion, understandably so, can be with fandom. Now, can the Cardinals compete with the loss of Goldschmidt and Arenado and play these young guys? Oh, sure. Anything can happen. If Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, and I use those guys specifically because they're at the forefront, if they meet their expectations, there is that possibility. But again, it's one of those situations where we're kind of in a transformation right now. And I think the other part to kind of sit back and realize is if Arenado gets dealt, and I start to believe now that maybe that we will see this, Annie, that we will see Arenado go once Bregman gets signed, is if the season doesn't go as they're hopeful, well, then I think it could be for John Mozeliak in his final trade deadline of his career as the president of baseball operations and GM. It could be a very busy one where guys like a Ryan Helsley specifically is going to be a free agent. Is this organization going to be able to sign a guy like Ryan Helsley, who will be a free agent after this season? I don't think they're going to be able to afford him. So you get something for him instead of just letting him walk and you don't really get anything at all. Then you have yourself a full-blown reset. But we're going to see a lot of young guys this year. We're going to see if they can materialize and meet some of their expectations. I think it'll be a very interesting season, to say the least. Hope? Yeah, there's hope. But it's not like seasons have passed where we're guaranteed that, oh, we're going to be there in the playoffs and we're going to finish number one in the Central Division. That's just not the reality of it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Scott Warman, the studio host for FanDuel Sports. I think we went through this period of time where, like, yeah, we make the playoffs, but we never go far. For a while there, we'd make them. We wouldn't win a game. Okay, you're high five. You're in the playoffs. Now we're not even making the playoffs. I think my question and what I hear fans saying a lot is, do the Cardinals still have a commitment to excellence?
Right. Absolutely. And I think they do. I don't think that's ever left. I think the biggest problem for the fan base and the organization is we're treading areas of this organization back-to-back no playoffs for the first time in a long time. And it could be three straight years. I mean, you go back to, what was it, 2 years ago, we hadn't had that many losses since like 1990 or 91. I mean, that's 30 years ago. I mean, that's a generation that has never seen losing baseball like that. So it's obviously a different road that this team has traveled. I think there is some promise with some players, even within the organization that are prospects. Their number one draft pick last year, not only do you read stuff, but even people you talk within the baseball industry, J.J. Weatherholt is his name. He's an infielder from West Virginia, and he's very highly thought of, like a pure hitter. This guy probably will be up, barring some unforeseen circumstances, sooner rather than later. And the Cardinals caught a break since they didn't make the playoffs, and now, you know, they have this lottery for the draft, and the Cardinals will be drafting number 5 overall. So one would think that they could probably, you know, snare a pretty good prospect come this draft, coming up in July during the All-Star weekend. So that's some of the positives. You know, I always correlate this, and I've mentioned this, whether it's on other radio shows or whatever, is I see a lot of what's happening with the Cardinals, the same thing that's happening with the Blues organization, Annie. There's just this transformation where both organizations, they know they have to go to kind of a youth movement, build up their prospects, build the through the draft and what have you. But you also want to still try to be competitive. And that's kind of the situation the Blues are in right now. They're on the outside looking in as far as trying to get into the playoffs. And they've made a couple of deals, you know, with veterans to try to push that while they're not spending that much money, even though with the salary cap they can't spend that much money. But they have a ton of prospects that is going to be here. And I tell Blues fans, and I would even say this to Cardinal fans, it sucks, but – you kind of have to have some patience with this whole thing. Because, as you know, Annie, you know, especially with social media and everything, everybody wants instant gratification. And it doesn't happen that way when you're trying to develop players. You can't throw a guy out there and go hit 300. It just doesn't happen. They have to evolve. And that is the one thing the Cardinals did say that they addressed was, look, we have to do a better job, which has been a part of the Cardinals organization even before you and I were born, about how good the farm system had been for years and years and years, and it has fallen, and they haven't spent that much money. And so part of the development is also a big part of having good teams, because even if those guys don't materialize with the Cardinals per se after they've been developed, you can use that chip to, let's bring in someone else if you're trying to, you know, get a veteran that'll help a team maybe make it to the playoffs. Yeah. We're not at that position right now, Andy. And that's the best way I can kind of relay it. I know it's not what we're used to, but this is where we're at right now.
Yeah, you know, I think what the fans want, both for the Cardinals and the 23-4 Blues, is they want to know that the organization is committed to getting to that excellence with some patience in order to get there. But they want to know that that's still the plan, and it's not just a money game, because we've seen that happen a lot in the sports business as well.
Absolutely. And the one thing, and I was actually went to warm up, and I did interview John Mozeliak on the stage on Saturday, and one of the things that he and I discussed, along with a lot of the fans, I know it's a grave concern, is, I mean, you're literally, and I can't blame the Dodgers, but the Dodgers is just swallowing up what it seems like almost every free agent, and you have the haves and the have-nots. And basically, the Cardinals really kind of are the have-nots, because they don't have that big monster TV deal like the other teams do. And they just stop bringing in the bucks like the Chicago Cubs or the New York Yankees or the Dodgers, as I mentioned, the Red Sox, go right on down the line. And I think this has to be a serious concern to baseball that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. And here's the other thing. I hate to go ahead of myself here, but you all are baseball fans, because I know you guys talk about it passionately, is the fact that 2027, there could be a lockout or a strike. And I hope that we don't have one, because if they do one and it's a lengthy one, they could really hurt the game, Annie. And people that are way far tied into Major League Baseball more than me, they have their concern that we could see one coming up in 2027. So
yeah. In the 90s, it was very destructive to the game.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. They couldn't even get a TV deal. They were like paying Fox, who was just coming into its infancy, just to carry some games nationally. You're exactly right, Annie. It was terrible. And if you really think about it, come history, is the fact that, you know, the Sosa-McGuire home run derby thing basically saved the game, and people started coming back in masses because of that. Other than that, they were struggling after that. They missed that whole season in 94. You're exactly right, Annie.
That's a good tip. It'll be something to pay attention to as these business deals develop in the next couple of years. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, Scott and I have had many conversations about sports, but also our connection. Scott, you are also a Lutheran, and you also know the benefits of Lutheran Lutheran education specific to here in the St. Louis area on both sides of the river. Lutheran education, very important to me as part of my education and also how I educate, send my kids to Lutheran schools. We're doing this fundraiser, and the Lutheran Elementary School Association is working very hard to make that school choice possible for our area kids and our grandkids. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about Lutheran education in your life and maybe your thoughts on why families out there might want to donate to this worthy cause or potentially check out a Lutheran school close to them.
Yeah. In fact, you know, when you and I were texting yesterday, I mentioned to you one of the gals that I went to Luther North with, Jackie, her name is now Brannicky. It was Floyd. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you ever heard of Brannicky Hardware, that's her husband, Tim. Tim was a year ahead of us at Luther North. He was class of 84. Jackie and I was class of 85. And I know Jackie is very deeply involved in Lisa's, what I guess you guys term it, LESA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, I went to Grace Chapel Lutheran School in Bellefont Neighbors, K through 8, went to church there, went to Lutheran North High School, and now that I live out west, I am at St. Paul de Pere, which is Manchester 270, essentially. And real quick story, I mean, this school, just like Grace Chapel, has been around forever, and they did an investment and put in a new school because the old school was really getting kind of dilapidated, and the response from the members, and he was amazing. And they basically, I think they have that, what now we call phase one, paid off for. Well, The demand now to go to St. Paul de Pere specifically, because it's my experience, is so massive that they said, hey, well, what if we tear down the old school and put a second phase where we would have two grades,
that's awesome,
or two classes for each grade? Well, we almost paid probably 3/4 of what the loan was just from the people within the church alone invested in to get this thing started. In fact, if you drive by, I mean, they've got all kinds of construction going on right now. And the hope is, I think within this August, we'll have this thing up and running. And they've expanded other things as far as music, the gymnasium, go right on down the line. But supply and demand, you know, it's basic econ, if you've ever learned econ. And our school here in St. Paul de Pere is supplying the demand for what people want to do. And there's more people wanting to go to private school. I can also tell you Christ Community Lutheran Church, which is in Kirkwood, my good friend Sam and his wife, two of their kids went there, and they're expanding as well. So the expansion of Lutheran schools is massive, and I can tell you that I'm forever grateful of getting the opportunity to go to Lutheran grade school and Lutheran high school. In fact, for Lutheran North back in the 80s, when I was going there, we were considered one of the top 60 high schools in the entire country.
Wow.
That's just solely academic, yeah. So you're getting great academics on top of everything else that is provided. I know Lutheran South is expanding by massive amounts. I think Lutheran St. Charles is too. I'm sure Metro East has grown,
yes,
massively. In fact, I told you Metro East was actually just starting when I was in high school back in the day before you actually went to Metro East Lutheran, mm-hmm, High School over on the Illinois side. So I can't say enough of what it has been and helped me, but I know others. Another quick story. My next door neighbor, Catholic, his whole life, and his daughter is in eighth grade, went to visit several different Catholic high schools. A couple of kids go to Lutheran, are getting ready to go to Lutheran South. They're like, let's give it a shot. And Jeff, it took his daughter, Emily. Guess what? They're going to Lutheran South as proud Catholics because they were so impressed with Lutheran High School South and what they are able to offer his daughter for the next 4 years. So, yes, I can't say enough about how much the Lutheran education and everything that is involved with the Lutheran education not only helped me, but helped so many other people.
Yeah, yes, those are wonderful stories and anecdotes that we could hear replicated in people's stories all across the listening area right now. And that's what we're really working hard to do with this scholarship, is make that opportunity possible for people who may not be able to make it possible for themselves. So thank you for sharing your story with us and that connection that you and I have through those Lutheran schools. And we're going to have you back and we'll have you walk us through through the Cardinal season every now and again, hopefully with some positive things to talk about. We'll talk about those baby birds and see how well they're doing.
I'm hopeful, Annie. I'm very hopeful.
We will join that hope. It's January. What do we have if not hope? For sure.
Well, hey, at least we're starting to melt all this junk in our backyard, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk to you again soon, Scott. Thank you for the time today. We're really grateful
for
you.
You got it, Annie.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott Warman is the studio host for FanDuel Sports, or used to be Bally, and it used to be Fox Sports Network or whatever. I've had that connection with him for a while. I didn't realize that he was Lutheran or had participated in that. The school at DePere, St. Paul DePere, I believe. Wonderful school. Wonderful. I connect to a lot of these different places through sports. We'll do volleyball tournaments in Missouri, or maybe we're in a basketball tournament. We see some of these CCLS, Christ Community Lutheran School in Kirkwood, wonderful facilities. But what we're trying to do here is make that possible for families across our St. Louis and Metro East area. And I need your help. Would you consider making a small donation, a large donation? We'll take whatever you can, whatever you are blessed to be able to donate at Lisa with an E, L-E-S-A, LisaSTL.org/Annie, and help us get to that $15,000 mark by the end of the week. We'll be bringing some more people on who have those connections to that Lutheran education throughout the course of the week to help us celebrate National School Choice Awareness Week, but also National Lutheran Schools Week. It's Spirit Week. It's Jersey Day today. When we come back in the next segment, we'll talk about what Spirit Day will be tomorrow. You guys can have some input on that as well. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, what kind of Spirit Days would you like us to enjoy here on the Annie Fry Show throughout the course of the week? We'll take all and any suggestions, as well as your vote on the YouTube live chat poll. How much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our healthcare system? Not at all, some reform, or complete reform. Those results with Ethan at the end of the show. Let's get Ryan Wiggins back in studio in just a minute. Don't go away.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I was just scrolling through X, and there's a lot. I can't, like I've said this before, I can't get enough of it. There's just so much. There's so much on X. There's a post from The Onion. Remember when The Onion was the satire in the business?
I do remember that.
The Onion, if there were other satire sites, they never got as big as The Onion.
No, they were the gold standard.
Yeah, as far as the internet went. If you were like, oh, is that from The Onion? If something seemed like it was satire, you'd say, is that from The Onion?
Right.
People don't say that anymore.
No, in fact, they kind of say Babylon Bee, mm-hmm. although I don't know if that's across the spectrum.
In our circle, yeah. They do. Well, here's a post on X, and it's from the actual Onion's official page. And it's a picture of Donald Trump, and I just realized that he has blood splatter on his face. Trump, the picture of Trump has blood splatter on his face and on his shirt. And this is the headline that The Onion wrote. Bored Trump spends afternoon stabbing Secret Service agent.
I'm not really sure what the joke is.
I fancy myself to have a pretty sharp sense of humor. I don't get it.
Yeah, because it's not talking about how he's not doing anything. Like, if he had taken office and then done nothing.
Like the past president?
The joke would be, oh, he in this first week, he's done nothing but sit there and just sort of like, you know, make a joke about it, just stabbing the people around him. Like, he's not doing anything. But that's not the case.
Trump is not, like, there's no parody around Trump being bored. He's going all over the place. And if you're just, like, I don't even know why you would draw such a stark contrast between how busy he actually is versus saying he's bored. Spends afternoon as if he's spending his afternoons doing casual things. He's literally going coast to coast in his first week as the president of the United States. Stabbing, I don't even understand that. And the Secret Service agent thing, the president, even in the midst of having real legitimate reasons to question Secret Service, has stood by them the whole time.
Yeah, so if the joke isn't that they're making fun of him for not getting anything done, which clearly they can't really do, then they're just sort of making a joke up, which is fine, but I don't...
not even funny.
I don't get what the... Yeah, like, okay, you're stabbing a Secret Service agent.
There's no irony.
But here's the thing. They went one step too far, maybe a couple steps too far, by putting blood on the face of a president who actually had blood on his face from narrowly avoiding an assassination attempt.
With questionable practices by the Secret Service.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it whatever, but it's out. It just doesn't work. It's a mess.
I don't get it.
Are they trying to? I'm just trying to make sense of it here. Are they trying to go back to his inauguration speech? Not the speech, but the one after the speech, where he walked down the stairs and we carried it and was more off the cuff, where he was talking about joking about how they said that he choked out a Secret Service agent or whatever?
No, that was from the accusations that he, during the January 6th stuff, tried to commandeer the car that he was in. That he wasn't joking about that just to joke about it. He was saying that how absurd it was that mm-hmm. the allegations were made that he somehow or another like physically overtook this big burly guy and grabbed the steering wheel and everything. Like, that's, I don't even know how that would be connected.
Look, if you're going to make a joke that's not based on trying to, you know, make a parody out of something, that's okay. But the joke here would then be something more like bored Trump spends, which is not true, but okay, right. Fine, just to suspend a disbelief. Bored Trump spends afternoon carving Pete Hegseth's initials into Oval Office desk or something like that, where you're like, or you could go a Bill Clinton joke route and say, bored Trump talks to Melania about Monica Lewinsky's role, or you know, like, so you could go like that direction and do something that's risque, you know, but they didn't really do any of that.
Christopher on our YouTube chat says Babylon Bee's next headline will be Onion spends afternoon bored stabbing self in foot with bad jokes. I like that.
I mean, there, you can just have a bad joke, but this one's in pretty bad taste.
But a bad joke, you can you understand the attempt.
Yeah, this doesn't have a premise.
I'm just like, get that author some therapy. Get him the help that they are clearly asking for.
Yeah, The Onion really did take a bad turn with Trump, too. You know, like we talk about comedy and how people kind of lost their ability to be objective and just go after jokes. The Onion is very much a part mm-hmm. of that. They really lost it with Trump. All the late night did it. But The Onion was kind of there. You know, they were kind of underground a little bit, so they got a pass. But they really, I think they've had financial troubles at the same time.
Maybe it's because they
suck. Troubles. Yeah.
I we don't have the video of Saturday Night Live, do we?
No.
I'm going to send this to myself so we can play it, because the I went to Jersey County this weekend and was able to speak at their Lincoln Day dinner. I was really excited to do that. I'd never gone to a Jersey County event before, so it was an honor to be able to be there and talk to them. And one of the people I was talking to was saying that they hadn't really, they were looking forward to checking out the SNL stuff, because last night was the first, or Saturday night would have been the first night that there would have been a Saturday Night Live with President Donald Trump. And you know, I'm in a position where, hey, we won, so the jokes that you want to make about it, if at the end of the day, in the end of your joke, Donald Trump's still the president, the jokes don't hurt my feelings. Who's the guy who plays Donald Trump on SNL? Do you know the actor?
I don't know his name.
I don't know him at all. I don't know who he is. I don't know anything that he's ever done that get that off there. That he has ever done that isn't Donald Trump. He's a pretty good Trump. And what I need to do, if I see somebody parodying someone, it needs to be enough. It needs to be enough so that at the end of the parody, I'm not so distracted by how bad it is that I'm not paying attention to the actual content of the joke, you know? So this guy, I think he does a good enough job. I'm glad they're not using Alec Baldwin. I'm glad Alec Baldwin's problems can just be his problems and that we don't have to suffer through him, because it's not funny. This guy I actually thought was pretty funny. They started the show. The opening scene was a scene from Hamilton, the signing of the documents, and John Hancock there, and he kind of starts out the whole thing. But Lin-Manuel Miranda comes out as Hamilton and starts to do his thing, and so I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes. Now they're not gonna all of a sudden use this as an opportunity to laud Donald Trump. So you know that there are going to be some jabs taken, and when you're the president of the United States, you should have jabs taken at you. That's part of the First Amendment in its finest, most enjoyable form, is good comedy that pokes fun at the people who are in powers, are in positions of power over you as the we the people element of that equation.
Oh, look at Lynn. Look how bad he wants to do a rap.
So you got Donald Trump, this character, Donald Trump. The scene of the signing back there is this the signing of the Declaration, right? Or is it the Constitution? I don't even remember.
This is probably the Declaration.
They kind of like freeze frame and Donald Trump walks in because they're talking about how beautiful America is going to be and how there's no king. And then Donald Trump comes in.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, okay, I see what you're doing here. So everybody in the background, these founding fathers are all standing back there and they're frozen. And Donald Trump kind of comes onto the scene and starts talking about it. And so Lin-Manuel Miranda is standing there in the scene, frozen, while Donald Trump's doing a little thing.
He wrote a whole rap and he doesn't get to do it. Oh, the audience would have eaten that right up. But we're not going to hear it. He's in sniffing distance of an EGOT and he's got to stand there till I'm done. Lin-Manuel Miranda Cosgrove. There he is. Such a Miranda.
I was like, it's a good enough impression.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not an actor that is like one of the most known actors, I don't know, maybe he's somebody who everybody knows and I'm just a loser and don't understand it. It actually lets you enjoy that character as a goofy version of Donald Trump.
Yeah, the guy's name is James Austin Johnson. He's
never
been doing it since 2021 and we don't know his name. Yeah, that's him.
Don't you? Isn't it enjoyable to an extent to watch the SNL kind of get their feels out with Donald Trump, but know now that, well, he's still the president. So
that's, yeah, it's so funny because that's what everybody's having to deal with. Is you go, well, we already had him for 4 years. We threw everything we possibly could find at him. And lost, and now he's going to be the president for 4 years. It's like the left and Hollywood, they're not going to give up, but they are just kind of shrugging and going, I got nothing left. I don't really know what to do, so I guess we'll just laugh a little bit. They're still going to take shots. Like, it's not going to stop, but...
But that's what we wanted him to do when Joe Biden was president, too. Just take shots. It's fine. Do it in good fun. Make humor. Let us all laugh, but, you know, they wouldn't.
You sent a video of, was it Jamie Kennedy was having a podcast with David Spade or something? Not David Spade. Who was it with? Was it David Spade?
No. It was, I can't think of his name now. I have to look it up. I didn't recognize
him. They were talking about the fact that they'd come out and supported Trump and were like outwardly, openly supportive of Trump. And he was, had no shame in doing that. Here's more from the Saturday. This is kind of the open of the Saturday Night Live sketch.
What say you, Alexander Hamilton?
What do I say? I say our lives matter not if we lose them in the cause of liberty. What matters is the nation we build. Because in America, all men are created equal. America, not England. We do win the sequel. And we will have leaders, but no one thing. In America, we will never have a king.
Never say never. Kidding, of course, though in many ways I'm not. I'm in my king era. But just like the founding fathers, I am creating a new country as well. And just like them, we're doing it very whitely. DEI is over. It's dead. Workplaces must go back to looking like the TV show The Office. Mostly white people, but with one funny black guy who's having a really bad time. We need to bring back Stanley culture, right? In terms of crossword and with regard to Pretzel Day. Look at Lynn. He got tricked into coming here and now he's frozen on stage. Oh, he's furious. But I'm back in the White House just in time. Everything is back to how it was, except now my new favorite son is Barron, and he is smacking his head on every doorframe. Oh, it's bad. It's like when Gandalf goes to Bilbo's house. And the inauguration was a tremendous success. It was inside due to cold and fear. But we had a lot of surprise guests like Melania. That was nice. Melania showed up to my inauguration dressed like, frankly, Kung Lao from Mortal Kombat. And you know, I had to put my nerd herd in the front row. Broligarchs before holigarchs. I've been saying it. We're saying it a lot. Zuck, Bezos, Tim Apple, and of course, Elon. We love Elon, but to quote some of his own children, I do not want him in my life. They say he did the Nazi salute. Not true, okay? He simply was creating a new greeting, a cross between hi and hello. We're calling it a heil.
So that's a pretty good Trump. And some of those jokes, they're the leftist versions of the jokes. And what I wish that we would have had is that the opposite bent on jokes on Joe Biden. We missed that opportunity, and there was so much there. And you can't tell me that they just felt sorry for him, because they sure didn't act like that in the media. They lauded him. They championed him. They didn't joke about him. I can laugh at those jokes, even some of the ones that I'm like, all right.
Yeah, right.
But
they're jokes, though.
They're jokes.
That's the point.
And you can see with the jokes that they choose to make, what gets under their skin a little bit.
Yeah.
I for one, like to know.
It is unfortunate, because they were running cover for the President of the United States instead of joking for so long. Joe Biden. They could have been doing some really funny stuff. And they just didn't do it because they were politically in his camp.
Yeah. Melania showing up. Special surprise guest. That's funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't laugh at that, don't take yourself so seriously.
I mean, making a Mortal Kombat joke out of her outfit.
When he said that, I've heard people refer to her as the Hamburglar and some other things. But when he said Mortal Kombat, I know exactly the character. I would have known the name. But I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Good joke. Yeah, well, Donald Trump's the president. I'm happy. I can laugh. Can you? Quick break. Poll results when we come back. Don't go away. You know where I'll be. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. It's National School Choice Awareness Week. And we are celebrating Spirit Day today on the Annie Fry Show. I'm wearing an Adam Wainwright Cardinals jersey that is my husband's that I bought for him. If your wife buys you something, can she take it and wear it whenever she wants?
I don't think so. No. That doesn't work that way. That's not the answer you were looking for, but... That's the truth.
Oh, it doesn't have any bearing on what I do.
Oh, okay.
I just wondered, in your household.
Oh, in my household.
If she buys you that lovely Blues jersey that you're wearing right now, and it's Blues Day at the school she teaches at, can she take that out of your closet without asking permission?
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't worry too much about that. But there are certain shirts that I'm like, I was going to wear that shirt today. We don't really have a lot of crossover, though, because our closets are in such different parts of the house that it's almost like... If I see
her... Does she ever travel over to your wing of the house?
If I see her walking into my wing, I'm like, what are you doing over there? So I kind of instantly know something's up.
What if she does it when you're not home? And you don't know that she's doing it, and you come home, and she walks in, and she's wearing the Blues jersey?
I'd probably be okay with that.
Wouldn't she look cute in it?
I was going to say that, but I didn't.
You should. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. It just seemed weird to say.
Why?
I would think she was kind of cute in it. Yeah, girls wearing men's clothes that are a little too big for them, I think men enjoy that.
That's like super in now culturally.
Is it? Okay. I have no idea, but I do know that if I saw my wife wearing something of mine and it's a little too big, it is kind of cute. And I probably would tell her.
Have you come full circle? You can't have a problem with it and also be like, you look great.
Well, I have a problem with it only... Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because there are certain shirts that we've bought, like, on vacation that we would buy as a shirt that would be like, oh, anybody could wear this, but clearly one person wears it more often. Like a kid's shirt that... Hey, yeah, kids, anybody can wear that shirt, but one kid's going to wear it the most.
I'm talking about you and your wife.
And I am talking about me and my wife, because there are shirts like that we've bought that are like, oh, yeah, this could fit either one of us. We could both wear this shirt, but it's in one of our closets. And whoever its closets it's in is technically theirs.
But you don't care if she wears it.
I don't really care.
That was, you could have said that 2 minutes ago. but especially if she buys it for you, doesn't she get to kind of borrow it?
I think that's where I have an issue. If she buys it for me, it's still my shirt.
Well, of course. This is still Jared's shirt.
Okay.
I bought it for him.
Okay. Well.
And I'm wearing it today because it's Spirit Day and I needed a Cardinals jersey. And this is a very nice Cardinals jersey. Adam Wainwright's. And I...
I'm trying to come up with a scenario in which that would not be okay, and
yeah,
I can't really find one.
You're trying really hard to be contrary.
So I guess I'll just say it's okay.
Ethan, can your wife swipe that Michigan State jersey you're wearing over there if it was necessary? Can she wear that and without asking permission from you?
If she doesn't get anything on it, then yeah.
If she behaves.
Yeah. I've had situations like that where, like...
Well, I was worried about the makeup on this white jersey.
Yeah, like after, like, you know, like there's a school dance and after they're all going or like doing a jersey theme or something, mm-hmm. like, and like sisters have asked, can I borrow that? I'm like, you can borrow it as long as you don't stain it.
Your sister, like, and your wife, though?
Yeah, but my wife's never asked, so this is the only situation that
also,
I can relate it to.
I would add that where the real difference comes down is when they do get something on it, how you treat your sister versus how you treat your wife.
Oh my God, my sisters would get verbally abused.
Yeah, and your wife?
No. I would say, could you please get that stain out?
Yeah, and you would hold. You might still have the same emotion, but the way you let your sister have it, and I say this as a sister, the way it happens through siblings and the way your husband, who is disappointed, handles you as a wife, that's a major difference.
Slightly different.
Brad, what about you? Can your wife come take your shirt out of your closet, especially if she gave it to you as a gift?
Yeah, she's actually worn this shirt before. So
did she give it to you?
No, she didn't get to. I got it as a gift from somebody else.
Did she ask you for it?
Yeah, she was.
That's not the scenario.
Oh, all right.
If she gives you something.
Listen, yeah, Brad.
This is like talking to Ryan. If she gives you a gift, can she just come take it? It's something you really appreciate. I'm asking because Jared's finding out probably right about now that I'm wearing this jersey.
Did he care that you wore his Notre Dame jersey?
No. The only thing is he wanted to wear it that night, and so I gave it to him and he wore it that night, I think. He didn't care.
Does he care if you do it and then you're like, oh, chili cheese fries? Or if you didn't just stumble upon the chili cheese fries, if you actually said, you know what I think I'm going to do now that I'm wearing this jersey? I'm going to go to rallies.
If I got something on the jersey, I would just buy him a new one.
Oh,
I would okay. feel wow. really, I would feel really bad about it.
You wouldn't yeah. try to get the stain out and just leave it at that?
I would try to get the stain out, but if it's the Notre Dame jersey, which is one of the green jerseys, which is a special kind of Notre Dame jersey, I would work hard to get the stain out of that because you probably wouldn't if you did your best work on it.
Sure.
If I got something on this white jersey and it's one of the lighter ones, so it's one of the higher end ones, if I got something on this, I would just be going over to the clubhouse on the way home.
Do they even still sell Wainwright jerseys?
I don't know. It's vintage.
Yikes.
This
is pretty risky right now.
On our wedding day, I gave him a Wainwright jersey. And
that's cute.
So he has, and that was in 2007 when we got married, but I've gotten him Wainwright jerseys throughout our entire marriage. So this was the last of the Wainwright installation.
How many does he have?
Maybe four.
Holy moly.
Well, then you'd be fine
but
dropping
chili cheese
on it.
No. They're the different styles of jersey, so it's not the same one over.
Right.
There's like a blue one. There's the cream Sunday one or whatever it is now, the classic white one that was. So yeah,
it's a safe call. If you're gonna go with a last yeah. name, going with a guy that is like, you know,
franchise,
he's retired.
Right?
He's
yeah.
the guy. Me, I have a Jack Flaherty powder blue jersey, and like that's useless now.
It was useless then.
It was good for a year.
Sorry,
I got excited.
Should have gone with the Matheny on the 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one of those.
Hmm?
I have a Matheny jersey from when he played.
How
way
about
back
that?
When. Yeah. The YouTube live chat poll, you want to set that up for us here real quick?
281 votes on today's poll, which asks, how much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health systems? Am I giving the answers now?
Yeah, let's
okay.
go ahead.
All right. Winning today's poll, well, I'll say the options first. Complete reform, some reform, or not at all. A nice little mix on this one between two of the options, at least. 63% say complete reform, 36% say some reform,
wow.
and just 1% says not at all.
I'm kind of surprised that two-thirds of our audience want RFK Jr. to just go ham.
I'm not.
On the whole thing. You not?
Mm-mm.
It'll be interesting to see. All this week, lisastl.org/Annie, please help us meet our goal of $15,000 to establish an Annie Fry Show Lutheran Education Scholarship. The website is Lisa with an E, lesastl.org/Annie. I'm really hoping that we can get there. I think we can. We had $7,000 walked in the door at Ruler Foods to help feed people in St. Louis. I need your generosity this week to help educate in a Lutheran school our kids. LisaSTL.org/Annie.